Sauce Boss is in the house today. Bill Warden will be with me in the second hour. Please do not miss this golden opportunity to learn about this remarkable musician and really a neat guy, Bill Warden, our guest. And in the first hour, we're going to remember our beloved Scott Pliskin, a veterinarian for many years in this town. Sadly, we lost Scott earlier in the month, and this is an opportunity to remember Scott Pliskin.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now over 75 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widden wanted, and it's been the Widden way of doing business for over 75 years. Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widdenglass.com. It's another opportunity for us to gather around the comforting warmth of whatever device you're listening to through at this moment. Maybe you're a podcast subscriber, bunch of you doing it that way. God bless you. We appreciate that. So if you need a little guidance there, you want to subscribe, best thing to do is go to our website, TallahasseeTalks.com. There you'll learn all about the show and our history and see what's up. Kind of laid out there in a news magazine sort of format. Makes it easier for you and I to hunt around for stuff or catch up on recent shows, and certainly to tune in to the show at hand. If you're listening on Moose Magnificat, well, that's a great thing because, you know, we love the Moose. And you can go to the Moose Magnificat website there and moosemagnificat.com. You'll find our listening page, or I guess it's listen. There is a player there on that page, and there's all as well links to Apple and Android app downloads. So you can download the Moose app to your phone and listen by means of that opportunity. So God bless you for that too. And most of all, I mean, we have to give a shout out to the good folks over there at 93.3 who have carried our broadcast now going on, I think it's 11 years. We started 12 years ago, so this being our 12th season. And originally we were over at WTSM, which at that time was the ESPN affiliate for Tallahassee, and made our way over to 93.3 Real Talk in Tallahassee. John Jopling and Greg Tisch, Matty Rowe, great lineup of peoples that make all that happen. We're pleased to be able to part of that lineup on Saturday mornings at 7. And we do a repeat broadcast of the show Sunday afternoons at 3, Wednesday afternoons at 5:30, both of those on your beloved Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's radio to the world, bringing you the sound of Tallahassee, all local musicians playing their original songs all the time. Love doing that. And man, some of the music we've been getting from some of you musician types of late is stellar. It's really, really good stuff. So if you've not done so lately, you need to listen in to Moose Magnificat. And we carry a pretty wide variety, I think, there. I mean, it's representative of who we are as a town, very diverse kind of place and inclusive and all that good stuff. Everybody gets a seat at the table, and you'll reggae to rap to country to blues. Speaking of blues, holy moly, we've got Bill Wharton here today. Sauce Boss, he's known to most of us, and he's got a lot to say about his own musical history. You'll enjoy this conversation, no doubt, when Bill joins us here in the second hour. Going to bring some of his own music, so we've got him live in studio for you. Yeah, so that's all looking pretty cool, pretty nifty up ahead. And I mentioned the dearly departed, Dr. Cary Scott Plissken. Many of you know him, and certainly for his many years of service in this community, one of the most beloved veterinarians. And he was gracious enough to be a guest on our show for several years, made several appearances over the years, always with good things to share with us about how to best care for our pets. And this is a guy who, I mean, he never met a pet he didn't like, from kangaroos to snakes. I don't think he did much in the way of birds. I think he left the birdness to other practicing veterinarians who were bird specialists. I don't know what the name is for that, but you probably do. Anyway, so Cary Scott Plissken, known as Dr. P to his patients and Doc to his clients. Yeah, and then I just knew him as Scotty. Yeah, he was not only an able practitioner, a gorgeous, gorgeous human being, generous in all of his efforts. He was a friend, and this one was tough. You know, he fell to an illness that was basically cancer that came at him hard, and he was only in the hospital for a couple of weeks, and then he was gone. So yeah, we're still remembering and in recovery from that loss. It'll be tough, because he's irreplaceable in my mind. So we have then this last appearance he made on the show just now about a year ago that I want to share with you here in this first hour. I think you'll enjoy not only his wit and his charm, but in the process you end up learning a lot about the right things and wrong things, what to do and what not to do in caring for pets. And it's hard to know who he cared for most or more, you and I or the pets that we love, because it was pretty evenly distributed as far as that goes. A couple of announcements for you before we move on. Remember that coming up on the 20th of this month, there's a bunch happening on Saturday the 20th. You've got Lloyd Depot Day. Well, that's going to be fun, so you should put that on your calendar. But then you've also got the Jubilee Orchards celebrating the Jubilee Festival. And that goes from 10 to 5 out there at Jubilee Orchards, Miccosukee Road, 12008 Miccosukee Road. A big, big day planned. Activities including a showcase of land management practices, soil enhancement advancements that reduce greenhouse gases, and a demonstration of forest school. Wow. There you go. So lots of things to learn. They'll have hay rides, pony rides, music, and the music. Yeah, they've got Revival performing. Okay, so that's cool. And they're going to have best-selling author Jeff Vandermeer He'll be talking with Florida State professor Allie Sperling about creative ways to attract more biodiversity in your yard, even like on an apartment balcony. Wow. So, you know, Vandermeer's a big advocate for wilding, so that's a good thing to know. I'll have more for you in the next hour about upcoming activities. I should mention there is a workshop coming up May 23rd at 1 o'clock. Now, this will be the County Commission to discuss strategies to address homelessness in our community. You'll have representatives there from the Kearney Center, Big Bend Continuum of Care, Leon County Sheriff's Office, all of that happening on May 23rd, 1 o'clock. So I'll have more for you in just a moment as we continue with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Welcome back, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Glad that you've made it part of your day. Reminding you that you can reach out to us anytime that it suits you. If you want to email us, topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. Love to hear from you. Find us on Facebook, of course, Tallahassee Talks. You can also check out Moose Magnificat. We've got a Facebook page there. And other activities like the Tallahassee Food Challenge. You know, it's our annual campaign to remind us all to give generously and give often, especially at this time of year when food supplies with food charities can become rather scarce. And that's simply because the school year ends, and so that supply side of food for kids who rely on those school-based food assistance programs, well, it goes away for the summer. But, you know, hunger doesn't take off for the summer. And so what happens then, again, we get more mindful of vacation time and travel and gardening and other things. And so you've got this sort of perfect storm of lower supply and increased demand, because those same families and those kids, yeah, they're still in need. And so what we do then with Tallahassee Food Challenge is simply encourage all of us. We challenge each of us to take that challenge, fill a bowl, and feed the hungry. And we're fortunate that this year Wood and Glass has stepped in as the presenting sponsor for the campaign. And our good friends at Grassroots Coffee, absolutely. And, of course, we've had the benefit of Gain Street Pies and their support, along with our other partners, media partners, sponsors. WTXL, ABC 27 has stepped in there big time. Our friends at Lamar Advertising. You may be out and about this weekend and see our digital ads out there on those beautiful billboards that Lamar provides for the community. Very helpful. And our partner in this too, 93.3 Real Talk, Greg Tisch and company over there, they've been shouting out the message for us. All of that works to encourage you and I to take a moment, go to the Tallahassee Food Challenge website, just as it sounds, TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. And there's all kinds of information about what we face as a community. And if you don't know any of that, well, think about this. The first thing you have to consider is how food insecurity is defined. It really just comes down to a lack of consistent access to enough food for every person in a given household. And that may be a household of three or four, it may be six or seven. In some respects, this insecurity can be a temporary situation, but for a lot of families, it endures. And with that, we have this two sides of the coin sort of effort. We want to initiate and support and encourage solutions to entrenched poverty and long-term circumstances that bring about food insecurities for families in our community, many of whom are your coworkers, by the way. They're in all parts of our community, every zip code that you can see on the map. So they're not all concentrated in a few neighborhoods. No, this is community-wide. And for that reason, we remind ourselves and remind you, it's not about them. It's about us. We together can take on this first step, and that is to help put out the fire. We'll work on those causes ongoing, and yet at the same time, the need is present, and it's now. And because that's true, we find ourselves often, I suppose, wearing out a little bit. Maybe we just get a little jaundice. We become a little dull in our hearing. Well, the Tallahassee Food Challenge here reminds us, Leon County remains among the top five counties in the state of Florida for food insecurity. And some other numbers here. Nearly 65,000 people in the Tallahassee Metro, that's five counties, live at or below poverty line. That's about 26,000 per four-person household. $26,000 a year. Yeah. I mean, we do the math. Across the Big Bend area, you have about 100,000 children who are under 18 years old, and nearly 14,000 of them face food insecurity every day, every week. So with this effort, we remind you all to give generously, give often. If you need more information about that, go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. Incidentally, there is a button there on the site that's conveniently and prominently located, connects you to the Second Harvest of the Big Bend page where you can do a cash donation. Remember, there's a 4-to-1 ratio. For every dollar I contribute, Second Harvest translates that into $4 worth of food because of their relationship with at a national level, food distributorships and such, food suppliers. Think about that. So a $100 donation can result in $400 worth of food. That's going to feed a lot of families, a lot of children's. So let's do our part and step up to that. Again, our thanks to our sponsors for making that happen. One of the other outcomes with this whole effort, we've been doing this now for, I guess, since 2006. So that's a good stretch. We've been fortunate enough to have people along the way, private businesses, stepping up to say, this is our turn, this is our part. So none of this that we do with this campaign is funded through tax dollars. No, it's all coming from those business owners that say, yeah, we're with you. A sort of secondary part of this whole thing is to raise awareness. And by raising awareness, we found ourselves being accompanied by a lot of other efforts. Well, this is great because now we're moving from the shadows into a center state of awareness. And here's something called Building Bridges with Beethoven, which is an event that's being scheduled for this Sunday, 4 o'clock, and it's going to be at the FSU College of Music. Their subtitle is A Tallahassee Music for Food Concert, 4 o'clock. That's tomorrow afternoon there at the recital hall, FSU College of Music. So monetary donations, food donations, non-perishable food items will be welcome. So you go and attend this concert, live chamber music, Music for Food, Tallahassee. It's awesome. You know, it's what characterizes our community, I think, more often than not, where you find people wanting to help in so many different ways and contributing not only their money and their well wishes, but they get involved, their time, their talent, all of it. And in that regard, let me also throw a shout out to some of the folks around our community who have been serving for many, many years. And this comes by way of Tallahassee Senior Services honoring 8 extraordinary citizens with their 2023 Silver Stars program. Some of Tallahassee's most accomplished seniors. And this is coming up on May 18th at the Silver Stars Gala, organized by the City of Tallahassee's Senior Services. And that's going to be a great thing. Marina Brown, Jane Green, Jim Henson, Henry Lowry, Dr. Charles Moore, Gladys Ryan Watson, Jill Sandler, and Frida Travis. All of these fine people being honored for their service to our community at the Tallahassee Senior Services Silver Stars Gala, May 18th. You can find out more if you'll go to talgov.com/seniors. Stay with me. In 1858, the Pensacola and Georgia Railroad built a Jefferson County train depot in Lloyd, Florida. Today, it remains the oldest brick railroad station in the state and one of only 3 surviving railroad depots in Florida built prior to the Civil War. Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, inviting you to this year's Lloyd Depot Day, May 20th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Gulf Wind Chapter of the National Railway Historical Society. Come and explore Florida's oldest remaining railroad station, listed on the National Register of Historic Places and preserved by Gulf Wind Chapter members. Lloyd Depot Day, Saturday, May 20th from 10 to 2. Free hot dogs and soft drinks, rail history displays and artifacts, and a model train layout for the kids. Learn more about Florida's railway history and this important preservation project. Saturday, May 20th from 10 to 2. Admission and parking are free. Take Interstate 10 to State Road 59, then south to Old Lloyd Road. Learn more at GulfWindNRHS.org.
I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, how do I?
Tallahassee Talk's favorite animal doctor is here, Dr. Scott Pliskin. He is our go-to, our resident animal services, medically related kind of person. He, in fact, is a veterinarian and operates, has for many years, Mahan Animal Clinic. And we just love it when Doc has a few minutes to spare, because we learn a lot about caring for those sweet animals that we, you know, they're part of the family, aren't mm-hmm. they? So we're going to get into that as we welcome our good friend, Scott Pliskin. How are you, sir?
I am fine. I have been called Snake because my name is Pliskin. And Snake Pliskin was the leading character that Kurt Russell played yes. in Escape from New York.
There you go.
So there you go. Okay, talk about snakes.
It's one of the nice things about your practice. I'll say this to your good. That you have treated a number of exotics, we'd
yes.
say, right?
Yeah.
And snakes among them. I think iguanas fit into that and a few
anything.
Other.
Anything. I'll take a stab at just about anything.
Don't and, use the word stab.
No, yeah.
Right.
That's right. Scalpels, things like that. Give it a give it a shot. You know. But I'll try to cure anything.
I didn't bring my snare drum, so we have to hold up on
right.
the... But the reality is that so many of us, and you know, I'm personally involved in this because
yes.
my goodness, we've had several dogs, and last count, I think we've had 2 or 3 cats, and each time we think, okay, that's it, we're not doing this again.
Yes,
and then
yes.
You see some little furry, fluffy thing comes into your life. And you're pathetic. You're hopeless.
There's a great need in people to nurture things.
Yeah.
And many times that's it. It hurts too much. Not going to do it again.
Right.
And your house is kind of empty and quiet without that little warm soul.
Yeah,
be
man.
It, you know, dog, cat, whatever. Birds.
Well, We have a cockatiel.
There you go. Birds.
Who has some kind of emotional disorder, because
did he have it before he went to your house?
No.
After?
No, okay. You're on target there, because I'm quite certain it's our doing, the poor animal. But he has this habit of pulling all his feathers out.
Oh yes,
and
a problem.
And I don't know if it's because
we've kind of given up on treatments and regimen.
That's very typical. It's very typical and common, and it's very difficult to reverse. A lot of people, a lot of people feel it's because of frustration or lack of social interaction.
Yeah.
People have tried some of the drugs that people try to remove anxiety. If there's no organic problem, such as disease or parasites, something like
that,
it's very difficult to get into the psyche of an African gray, for instance.
For example.
Or a
cockatiel.
And sometimes, more attention and time spent is just what's needed, and sometimes you go through a bunch of things and nothing really works.
It's got to be a rather perplexing set of circumstances, because this animal, if I were to give him more attention, he'll try to bite me.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done that where we pull him out of his little, he's got a better house than I have.
Yes.
He's got more toys. He's got and yet if you try to connect with this animal, he's going to, for heaven's sakes, he's going to bite you.
It's come to my, not my attention, but it's become my belief that once in a while, a person, not because of upbringing, not because of whatever outside for, is just going to be a screwball. Dillinger, it doesn't matter if he was raised by a priest. You know, he would have been John Dillinger.
I'm noticing your eyes narrowed as you said that, looking at me. I just want to know what
you're
trying to
say. Well, I wouldn't buy a used car from you, but, but that is the toughest thing we deal with.
Yeah.
Skin issues.
In the beast.
Health. Yeah, behavior problems. Of course, cats are famous for that, going in the sink and stuff.
Yeah.
Hope it's not lunchtime, folks.
Yeah.
But, that is very hard. You have to take a very complete history.
Huh.
Even observe the owner and kitten, cat or dog,
whatever,
relating to each other.
Yeah.
And that can help you out. But
you're suggesting really this might be separation anxiety, possibly? Or
something in his environment is bothering. He's not getting enough of something or too much of something else.
Right.
I don't know what it is.
I had a client at one point who had an African gray.
Mm-hmm.
And the bird was alone most of the day.
Oh, that's
and he
cruel.
Would start squawking like crazy, and he'd set off the
alarm
in the house because he had an audio detecting device as part of his home security.
Mm-hmm.
And his home security people would be calling him saying, "There's somebody that's just broken glass in your house." No, it's my stupid bird.
Yeah.
I guess it just means that you have to think a little more carefully about what you're going to commit to.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And people don't seem to realize the old days, you put a parrot in a cage, fed him a couple of crackers. That was the study of the art. Because they are so very intelligent, I've heard something like a 3 or 4 year old kid.
Yes.
They need the jargon word for the week is enrichment.
Yeah.
But they need stimulation, and they need interaction with people. They need a challenge, figure out how to get to that piece of food.
All right.
And this goes for most pets. They need to be active mentally as well as physically.
We're talking with Dr. Scott Pliskin. He is the head person in charge over there at Mahan Animal Clinic and has been doing this faithfully for many, many years. This is a guy who actually, I'm reading from your bio here, earned your Bachelor of Arts in English with a minor in education.
I was Mr. Pliskin. He's touching me before, not Mr. Pliskin is, but before I was Dr. Pliskin, he's scratching.
So you're dealing with kids.
Yeah.
You spent 5 years teaching in public schools in New York City and then later in South Florida.
Yes. And lived through it.
Yes. And you're here to tell us about it. Did your medical training in Mexico City at the National University of Mexico.
Yes.
And what was the, I guess we'll have to get into this after the break, but what was the big fork in the road for you? Why did you go from teaching school to medicine, I guess?
Well, I always wanted to be a veterinarian.
Really?
And this is frank. This is how I want to do it. But I said, that's for the smart people. Uh-huh. And then I went to some vets and I said, a very ordinary person, or at least what he's doing is well within my ability to do.
Right.
And so I knew I had to support myself, so I became a teacher after I graduated.
Wow.
And enjoyed that. And but
this was the real kernel.
That's what
of
I
your
really wanted to do. And I knew every time
purpose.
I drove past a vet hospital, I would get a pang.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
Like, boy, I wish I did that. But so I did it. And but I lived the American dream. I knew what I wanted to do, and I actually got a chance to do it. I'm very lucky.
Well, there you go, folks. And I dated a girl in high school named Madeline, so I know
that.
Folks, stay with me. I've got Dr. Pliskin with us through the next segment here on the show, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merry Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. Well, that's why we rely on Merry Maids right here at our studios, because, you know, I do need a little shine from time to time. And my friends at Merry Maids can make it happen with guaranteed satisfaction, screened and trained employees, bonded and insured performance, even a free consultation. Merry Maids can customize cleanings to fit most budgets and fit your busy schedule with cleanings on a weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, or an on-call basis. Merry Maids will deep clean your home on that first visit, something that you've probably been wanting to do, but you don't have to. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's clean. Right here in Tallahassee, call 386-2205 or find them online at merrymaids.com. That's 386-2205.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The thing that I've noticed about you over the years in that respect is your care for the pet owner.
Yes.
That really stands right along with your care for the animal.
From the get-go, you got to know there's somebody at the end of that leash, and he has to be dealt with. I don't tell the dog how much antibiotics to take. You know, you're dealing with the person.
Yep.
And some of the most crushing images of grief have been in the room when I have to euthanize an animal.
Yes.
It's no less intense, no less sincere, no less normal than with the passing of a human being. And that's something you just have to feel your way around.
Yeah.
There are times to be blunt. There are times to always be honest and frank, but presented in a more cushioned way.
Yeah.
But you have to let people know what the situation is.
Right.
You're not serving them well if you sugarcoat anything.
Try to prevent them from facing the truth.
And the fact is, the choice is the owner's. I can advise, I can explain the situation, but I can't, of course, tell them what to do.
Right. Yeah. And in that respect, we are on the upside of that question because we're looking today at some of the things we can do for pets, particularly now as we're inching forward into the hotter part of the year.
Oh, yes.
Humidity. And I always like to get you to remind us of some of those things. The more obvious should be, okay, don't leave your dog or cat in a or pet in a car.
Or your kid.
With the windows closed, or your child, for heaven's sakes. So that part I think I've got tucked away.
Yes.
But there are some other things I think we should talk about, maybe in terms of, I don't know, hydration and just what do we need to know?
Very, very good point. If the dog is going to, or cat, is going to be outside, provide them with clean, fresh water and a shade place to get out of the sun, especially here in Tallahassee.
No kidding.
It can get brutal. Matter of fact, some breeds should not be left outside in the sun, period. But at least give them that relief. If you're going to walk your dog, a lot of people like to walk with their dogs or jog with them.
Yeah.
Do it early before it gets hot or late when it's cooled off.
Right.
I've had people come to me after exercising with their dog, and either he's dead or beyond my ability to bring back because he just got so overheated. Don't forget, dogs don't have our capacity to disperse heat.
Right. They don't perspire.
No, they don't, except
pant,
on their pads of their feet and their tongue. That's a very small relative area.
Right.
And
right.
Their normal body temperature is much higher than ours anyway, but yet they don't have a higher limit of tolerance than we do.
Right.
So they can overheat pretty easily.
And that's always concerned me when I see people that have breeds that are meant for colder environments.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the St. Bernards of the world.
Yes.
And what are they doing with a St. Bernard in Tallahassee, Florida?
Well, I'll tell you, I've seen them and I've treated them and enjoyed them.
I guess it could be done, but you
gotta You just don't leave them the heck out. I mean, if you have a Great Pyrenees and it's 95 degrees out, maybe bring them inside into the air conditioning, or at least into a shaded garage or car space or something like that.
Growing up in Seattle on the north end of Lake Washington, one of the local residents had a St. Bernard, and he'd see me out there on my little plastic float. Every time that dog would go pouncing into the lake and swim out to me, and I lost more rubber plastic floats that way.
Yeah,
his little
you,
claws
man.
Would just pop, and the two of us would sink to the bottom of the lake.
A lot of the larger dogs are, and it's on, you know, the internet and everything.
Yeah.
These big,
they're
hulking
kind of shepherding
brutes.
That way, aren't they? They're
caregivers. They are.
Yeah.
And they were bred because of their size to be gentle.
See, speaking of the internet, you see these videos of like a Chihuahua who's got, like my bird, he's got social issues, right?
A lot of them do. They got little dog syndrome.
I mean.
You know, everybody's Napoleon. But they seem to be selectively breeding now, as opposed to when I first started, you know, being
ago?
A vet when they had covered wagons and pterodactyls and everything, to be breeding a much more soulful, gentle dog.
Huh.
We're boarding one now. Her name is Aria.
Okay.
And Ariana.
And this is a Chihuahua?
A little Chihuahua.
Wow.
The sweetest, most gentle, darling thing. She spends almost no time in her kennel because the girls have her all over the place. And it's good for the girls. It's good for Ariana as well.
Right.
So, that could be a bum rap. Don't paint every dog with
hot,
the same brush.
Hot weather coming, make sure the dog is not, or cat for that matter, or I guess when it comes to iguanas, we don't have to worry too much about
them. No, it's the winter when they fall out of trees in Miami.
Okay.
But, you know, they're okay here. They'll do well.
The other thing is I noticed that with the exotics, if we're talking about reptiles, they have to have enough lighting so they're getting vitamin D.
Excellent.
Is that right?
Boy, you're feeding me good stuff here,
I got
Brian.
A great team of research people.
Okay, all right.
Make sure I don't sound
tell
too
your
stupid.
Team of researchers.
Yes, right.
Right,
yes,
Carl?
Nodding right now. Yes.
They're doing a good job. Reptiles need very much a source of vitamin D, which is in natural sunlight, but these blue ultraviolet lights provide that for caged animals.
Okay.
And they need it badly. They can develop metabolic bone disease, wow, and soft skeletons, and they can't live without it, simply. Wow. And they need, most reptiles, a warm part of their enclosure, a cool one, so they can moderate their own temperature.
That's true.
And they need, that ultraviolet light. Yes.
I have a frog that's living in the pond in our front yard.
Oh, then he's golden. He's getting sun.
He is having a blast.
Uh-huh.
Although we don't have a name for him yet. We just call him Froggy.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was it. But he has developed a kind of familiarity. He used to just, freak.
Jump in and,
Now he'll just kind of, lay there and look at us like, what do you want?
Yeah, that's habituation. He realizes after being stimulated so many times, you're not going to do anything. Right.
We should be as smart. Why are we that?
I don't know.
Animals are a lot smarter than we are, don't you think, in most cases?
They know what they have to know.
Yeah.
If you throw me in the woods, I'll be dead in a week, okay? You take your cat out there, he'll live 15
he'll
years,
figure it out.
Yeah. So they know what they have to.
Folks, it is always our pleasure to have this man advise us and indulge my childlike sense of humor. Scott Plisken, a gift to this community and certainly a friend to this show, our resident veterinarian operating Mahan Animal Clinic over there on Mahan Drive. I would recommend that you get in touch with Dr. Plisken. He loves people and he loves animals, and you're going to love learning from him all that he knows about how to do the right thing for your pet.
Well, thank you, Brian.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
The check is in the mail.
Absolutely. Indeed. Folks, this is what we have for you here at the moment. You stay with me. We've got more coming up after the break. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic. Something clever. But that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
In 1945, Jack Whidden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now over 75 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whidden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whidden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whidden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whidden wanted, and it's been the Whidden way of doing business for over 75 years. Whidden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whidden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
Welcome back to the second hour. Here we are, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. On a lovely day when we have so many good things going on around town, and I got a stack full of nifty things, and I want to mention a few of these before I go too much further here. This is a City of Tallahassee announcing the 2023 Neighborhood Awards Program. Uh-huh. So if you think that your neighborhood should be recognized and awarded for its butymousness, well, then this is your chance. Entries must be submitted by Monday, June 5, so you got a little time. Neighborhoods have to be located within the city limits. Okay, this is the city doing this thing. Okay. You want to learn how to apply, go to talgov.com/neighborhood awards. So there you go, the 2023 Neighborhood Awards program. Here's also some other cool stuff going on. Coming up May 20, so that's a week from today. It's back, the Havana Reggae Festival, May 20th, with music, food, vendors, and more. Sweet Sounds of Reggae at the Farm, featuring live music, kids, events, food, games, farm tours. Let's see who they have there. Featuring the music of Wayne Stoddart and the Righteous Rockers Movement. Sounds fascinating. The Lions of Jah, Xander, they're fantastic. Chris Lane, Redeemed Vibes, Lily Forbes, and a whole lot more. Lots of food vendors offering curry chicken and jerk chicken meals. Yeah, man. Caribbean tacos. Oh, this is good. So, festival organizer Maurice Grant says, the Caribbean as a whole is one family. We exist in these island nations with different dialects and languages, but with interconnecting cultures, African, British, French, Spanish, Dutch, Taino Indian, just to name a few. And he says, we're here to share the rich mixture of cultures with our community. So that's all coming up May 20, entitled the Havana Reggae Festival. It's really at the S5 Farm Center on Salem Road out there in Quincy, Florida. All right. And it runs 12 noon till 9 p.m. Tickets are $20. You can learn more at HavanaReggaeFest.com. Yeah. So there you go. What else we got? Well, you've got the celebration, recognition of Emancipation Day, with community events kicking off the 13th. That would be, you know, today. City of Tallahassee recognizes May 20 as Florida's Emancipation Day, and throughout the month there are many ways for residents to commemorate this pivotal moment. The 20th of May, Emancipation in Florida programs presented by the Knott House Museum and the city's John G. Riley Center and Museum. Lots of free events. So as of today, from 10 a.m. to 4, you can do a walk through living history over there at Speed Spencer Stevens Park. That's down on Saxon Street. And then this coming Thursday, you've got Watching for Freedom 2023, the 20th of May Culture Keeper Honorees at Parkview at Cascades on Bloxham Street. And this event will recognize 12 individuals whose leadership and advocacy has sustained and preserved and validated Florida's emancipation history. Wonderful. Then comes the Friday the 19th, Freedom's Eve Emancipation Concert. It's going to be at the Adderley Amphitheater there at Cascades Park, featuring music by Tallahassee Symphony Orchestra and the Tallahassee Symphony Jazz Orchestra, along with Tallahassee Nights Live. Oh my goodness. So all that's coming up. The county, not to be outdone, is celebrating as well. They've got some wonderful library lectures, library lecture series, May 16, 6 p.m., Main Library downtown, entitled Emancipation Day, Where Do We Go From Here?, featuring an engaging panel discussion with local professors and historians. Panel includes Dr. Andrea Oliver, history professor at TCC, Gloria Jefferson Anderson and Hunter Hill. Man, all kinds of very important and knowledgeable folks there. You can find out more about the county's observances if you want to go to their website, leoncountyfl.gov. So that's that. And then it's /get engaged. Okay. leoncountyfl.gov/get engaged. All about city county celebrations, recognitions of, and discussions of Florida's Emancipation Day history. Let's see. We've also got, well, I guess that's all I need to do for now. All of this stuff that's coming up in the months ahead. I will say one thing last. Here we go. So apparently the Leon County Visitor Information Center now has finally moved in and is open for business in the historic train station down there on Railroad Avenue. This by way of Leon County's announcement, celebrating this grand opening with a Visitor Information Center. And it'll house Visit Tallahassee's administrative offices at this historic railroad station, Tallahassee's railroad station. The building itself is 165 years old and listed on the National Register of Historic Places. And quoting here from Commissioner Chairman Nick Maddox, he says, "We look forward to welcoming visitors from all over the globe to our new and engaging visitor center, positioned between businesses, hotels, campuses, and a variety of venues, all within walking distance of the hotels there in Railroad Square area." Yeah. All right. Well, congrats then to the county and to the folks that Visit Tallahassee. And yeah, we're gonna remind you as well, since we're talking train stations, this Lloyd Depot Day happening on the 20th. You may recall from our prior episode, we had Dave Hodges with us here last week, who is the president of the Gulfwind Chapter, the National Railway Historical Society. And this Gulfwind Chapter, again, talking about people who are committed to our welfare. They take it upon themselves as volunteers to preserve and present this historic train station in Lloyd. Happens to be the oldest standing train station, train depot, in the state of Florida, right here in our own backyard. And with that, they're going to have a day there of free food. They've got the grill fired up with hot dogs and drinks and such just for you. They've got a G-scale train layout, which is impressive, and that will be on display for you and your kids. Plus, lots of artifacts, antiques from the days, the golden days of railroading in our vicinity. That east-west route is still active, of course, because, you know, it runs straight through Tallahassee. But it makes a stop along the way, at least it used to, but it goes right past this historic depot there in Lloyd. No passenger service any longer, regretfully, but the work that is done to bring goods and supplies from east to west is still very much alive on that historic rail. Should learn more about that history. It tells you a lot about who we are now when we begin to dig into what we've come from, reminding us all that largely we are an agrarian economy, and certainly in an agricultural community around this part of Florida, affectionately known in days gone by as Middle Florida, and we remain right here in the middle of everything going on. And that's why you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks. Stay with me.
In 1945, Jack Whidden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now over 75 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whidden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whidden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whidden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whidden wanted, and it's been the Whidden way of doing business for over 75 years. Whidden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whidden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
Bill Warden is a powerhouse entertainer. He has this remarkable ability to mix his bluesy slide guitar and soulful voice into this truly unforgettable high-energy show, and he's been doing this for a while. Now, in addition, because that's just not enough in his mind, he goes about making sure that we're well-fed. He has his very own hot sauce that spices up a big pot of gumbo, which has become his signature for all of his shows, as often as he can. And he brings that to us with his own original songs, his original blues. So in saying all that, you have to consider that this is a man who could really come at this a lot of different ways. And I can say this because I've, and maybe you could agree with me, he's been out and about performing all over the country and perhaps around the world. We're going to find out more here in just a minute. But I do want to just say that if you are first-timers, you're just getting to know Bill Warden, well, you need to know that he is affectionately referred to as the Sauce Boss. And when he performs with his band, and we've got a couple of opportunities to hear that coming up very soon here on this afternoon, as a matter of fact, Saturday, May 13th, he's down there at the St. George Island Shrimp Festival. So if you're on your way south listening to this show, well, good. Keep driving until you get to St. George Island. Don't miss the Shrimp Festival, and don't miss this gentleman, Sauce Boss Bill Warden. How are you, my friend?
I'm good.
Yes, you are. You know, and the only thing we're missing here at the moment is that big old pot of gumbo.
Yeah.
We'll work on that for next time.
Let's.
Because we won't do anything else. We'll just enjoy the good food.
There you go.
But, Bill, you've made it possible for us, all of us, to not only plug into your music, but to get into the story, I suppose, the feeling and the drive behind the music, the things that you sing about, and the way in which you bring to us this connection with our own history as a region. And certainly, I think for any of us, even if we're not big blues fans, it's tough to not love what you do. Where does this all start for you? I mean, were you doing this when you were a kid? Tell us a little bit about the backstory.
Well, I've been a musician all my life. And when I was about 16, 17 years old, I started gigging. And I would go out and I would get a gig. And then I would run home and I would learn all the tunes. And so I got some things going on where I was working a lot. And I finally got one of those gigs for a 17, 18-year-old. That is a dream gig, six nights a week, right? Hmm. I was actually too young to play in the place. The leader of the band said, "Hey, listen, when you see the suits come in the front door, you go out the back door." But this guy he took me under his wing, and he showed me so much about how to do a show and how to play the guitar. And after about 2 months, I made that awful mistake that I generally make, and he kicked me right in the butt, right on stage. And basically, I learned how to play the guitar by avoiding that guy's foot. And I just kept playing. I loved it from the first time I saw a band.
Wow.
And so I just kept doing it, and after a while, I started doing my own thing. And then it was a thing where I was actually playing my songs and people were paying me for it. And I said, "Hey, this is pretty cool." So that was about 60 years ago.
Wow.
Not quite 60.
Not quite 60. Yeah. And you know what strikes me there is there was something already on tap, right? In you.
Oh, yeah.
And all of these circumstances came about and ignited this thing, and you've been trying to get it out there ever since. When did the whole gumbo idea come to you? Where did that come from, I guess?
Well, actually, it started with my hot sauce.
Okay.
I started making this hot sauce
okay.
with a daddle pepper, and I called it Liquid Summer. And at first, it didn't have a name or anything, but I just make it for myself. Because at the time, you know, you had Tabasco and Crystal and some habanero sauces out there, but none of this, you know, blow your face off, or I forget all the names of things that they call hot sauce these days.
Right.
And I was not satisfied. And so I made a really, really good hot sauce. And after a while, I realized something was up, because I would make a couple of gallons of sauce and it would be gone in 2 weeks. I mean, people would come over to my house and they would have to take a little bit home with them. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, I'm serious. In 2 weeks, I'd be out of sauce and said, hey, if people are going to come to my house and eat up all my hot sauce, I'm going to put it in a bottle, put a little label on there. I'm going to sell it to them. And that's kind of the way that whole thing started, because I started bringing it around to the gigs and I was selling a bunch of sauce. And then I was thinking, you know, the daddle pepper and Liquid Summer hot sauce is different, because the daddle pepper has a creeper burn. It doesn't hit you. It's like a cousin of the habanero, uh-huh. but it's not quite as hot.
Sneaks up on you.
And it comes up from the bottom in the mids, and it swells up like a symphony in your mouth. The whole thing is amazing. It gives you like 10, 15 seconds to taste whatever's in the chili. And then it just kind of swooshes, you know? It doesn't, like a habanero, it hits you right off the top, right? But this allows you to taste everything.
We're going to take just a moment, and we're going to have a taste
of
some of this fine.
Come on.
Fine musical cooking going
I'll
on.
I'll hook you
with
up.
With the Sauce Boss. This is a song called Dirty Rice. Let's take a taste.
I was late for dinner down in New Orleans. Almost got into a fight all about cuisine. I could see it coming, did they know what I said? Ain't nothing but a chicken wing, long as I get fed. All right. Dirty rice. All right. I can't get enough of that hot and dirty rice. Louisiana, Georgia, Alabama, Arkansas. Mama's in the kitchen and she's laying down the law. Daddy's in the backyard checking on the queue. Ribs and chicken, dirty rice, hey, what'll it be for you? All right! Dirty rice. All right! I can't get enough of that hard dirty rice, no! Cooking up that rice, heating up that chicken, and laying down that spice. Down on the bayou, I ate dinner twice. Can't get enough of that hot and dirty rice. Hot rice. Dirty rice. Hot rice.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merrymaids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. Well, that's why we rely on Merrymaids right here at our studios, because, you know, I do need a little shine from time to time. And my friends at Merrymaids can make it happen with guaranteed satisfaction, screened and trained employees, bonded and insured performance, even a free consultation. Merrymaids can customize cleanings to fit most budgets and fit your busy schedule with cleanings on a weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, or an on-call basis. Merrymaids will deep clean your home on that first visit, something that you've probably been wanting to do, but you don't have to. Call Merrymaids. Relax, and it's clean. Right here in Tallahassee, call 386-2205 or find them online at merrymaids.com. That's 386-2205.
Welcome back to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. The Sauce Boss is in the house. Let me just share with our audience a couple of things people have said about you. Bill Wharton mixes media like cornbread in his performance. Hot sauce, blues, chicken, funk, onions and okra, peppers and gospel, soul and seafood. Oh, and of course, slide guitar. That all goes into the pot that we call community. So here comes Sauce Boss Bill Wharton. It's unduplicated.
Yeah, some people have told me they were going to steal my show. And I always say, just try.
Yeah.
I mean, you should see my rider.
Well,
you know,
a lot of Elvis impersonators out there, too.
Yeah. But well, there's that.
There's the real sauce, man.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy for one thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's how these rock bands have in their contract, they have, we need, you know.
No M&M, no red M&Ms.
No brown M&Ms. And, you know, Louis the 14th. For me, it's okra and onions and peppers and all that kind of stuff. And so when I get to the gig, most of the stuff has been cut up and everything.
Yeah.
So I'm able to just throw the stuff in the pot and away we go. Gumbo.
Now, you're talking my language here, you know, and I'm a guy that hails from Seattle, all right? So I'm a disciple, but I've had to come to understand.
Yeah, some people, there's all kinds of gumbo, though.
Yeah, man.
There's a green gumbo
with
collard greens or kale or something like that.
Okay.
There's an okra gumbo, and there's a filet gumbo. But what I did was something that what I wanted to do was to have a gumbo that featured my hot sauce. Because when you cook with this stuff, it's amazing. And so I put the hot sauce in there. And when I go to a place and make my gumbo and play my music, I don't put anything except for liquid summer hot sauce in the gumbo for spice.
Wow.
That's it. And it does the whole deal.
Does the job, man.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I was making a record down in Sanford, Florida, at a place called the Kingsnake Studios. And you blues enthusiasts out there will love this. Mm-hmm. Kenny Neal's mama was making gumbo in the kitchen while we were recording. And I watched her like a hawk. And I learned how to make gumbo from his mother from Baton Rouge. And showed me how to make the red roux and how to put it all together. And I said, this is a good way for me to showcase a sauce. However, it's evolved into this huge, like, tent revival of rock and roll brotherhood. It's a picnic, and it's also a community event, you know?
Yeah.
Because everybody got to get up and stir the gumbo. Well, I can't do it by myself. So everybody who wants to can come up and stir the gumbo, and we all do it together. And it's kind of a thing about me. It's my mission. I've been doing this gumbo for over 30 years.
Wow.
In that time, I've fed hundreds of thousands of people all for free. It's kind of like my message to the world. I got some. Y'all want some? Yeah. Come on.
It happens that way, I think, because that little guy is still there.
The little guy
who started playing the guitar and got his butt kicked out on that stage. He's right here with us.
Well, I'm afraid so.
And you know, Bill, I think that is a recipe for not only a productive life, but a happy life. When we don't let the world take away from us the joy of who we are, just what we are and how we go about caring for other people.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Well, it's like okra. I put okra in my gumbo. I got the things like this. Okra from the motherland. Okra on the other hand. Okra in the frying pan. Okra, I'm trying to make y'all understand. Okra, the legend is, or one of them is, that okra came to this country braided in the hair. They didn't have much, but what they brought was braided in their hair because they need it. Okra will cure your ills. Okra is something that has medicinal properties.
Whoa.
In addition to being good food. And like I say, they didn't bring much, but they did bring okra.
And in fact, let me add another layer to that thought. Your music is medicinal. Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean,
you're bringing some healing into this old boy right here.
Well, I'm just trying to share it, you know, because we all have it. Everybody has it. But when we get together in a community like this and we are all with the music, without all those ears out there, I'm nothing. You know, because what the real magic is what happens between us all when there's music. That is, we vibrate sympathetically together.
And we all take a turn stirring the pot.
Totally.
We're going to do this again because I've got another nifty little tune that you have done for us.
Cool.
Here, or about to, if you will. This is a song called Lonesome Rider. We're going to take some time now and listen to it. I think you're going to enjoy this, and we'll talk some more after we come out of the break. Our good friend, Sauce Boss Bill.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a lonesome rider, and I ride both night and day. I'm a lonesome rider, y'all, and I ride both night and day. Always somewhere I gotta go, gotta get away. Gonna take my rider, sling that girl up on behind. Yeah, I'm gonna take my rider, sling that woman up on behind. Yeah. She's my bad girl, she's the best I'm ever gonna find. Me and my baby gonna ride to the end of the road. Time.
I'm gonna have to get away.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Jeremy Matlow, co-owner of Gain Street Pies in Tallahassee.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
Gain Street Pies is honored to be sponsoring this year's Tallahassee Food Challenge. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of year when food supplies run low. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families in our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Of our guest, Jimmy Buffett, has said, "I will play for gumbo," when he sings about Bill Warden, the sauce boss. And in that regard, his anthem, "Let the Big Dog Eat," was included on Buffett's late night menu at the Margaritaville Cafe album. Albert Castilla released his cover of the tune, and it hit number one on blues charts. Helping everybody else here, Bill. And then this nifty tune, "Big Dog, Let the Big Dog Eat," appeared in the movie Something Wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, it was in a movie a couple of years ago called Jimmy Carter, Rock and Roll President.
Oh, yeah. How we can't leave that out. All of this and 16 other works in the documentary that earned Warden Best Original Score from the Los Angeles Film Awards. And you've got some other cool stuff going down with a bit of a tour through the Northeast, June and July, coming up that'll culminate in two shows at the Ottawa Blues Fest.
Mm-hmm.
No small venue there. One of North America's largest blues festivals, and our beloved, our very own, Sauce Boss will be up there. Just now, when you have a crowd that size, how do you do the whole gumbo thing? It's like,
it's pretty amazing.
tell us this is gonna
and
work.
You know, I've done this the Ottawa Festival 6 times already.
Okay,
and I have a lot of friends up there, but at a big festival like that, We cook enough gumbo for, you know, 300 or 400 people.
Whoa.
And, you know, everybody at the festival doesn't get gumbo because, you know, there's 50,000 people there. But it's...
You have to get in line early.
You have to get in line. And that's the way we do it. We don't... Yeah. Whenever the gumbo is ready, people line up and we hand them the gumbo, you know. And so it's another case of when I first started this gumbo, crazy gumbo crusade, I had this little tiny pot that I would make gumbo in. And, you know, back then the crowds were pretty small, okay? But somehow I would feed these people out of this little tiny pot. And the pots have gotten bigger.
Like loaves and fishes.
Well, I'm not going to say that. But he did have a point.
He did have a point.
If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The people at, you know, at a family. Like I grew up in a, my dad was a teacher. And teachers don't make much money. And I had 3 sisters and a brother. And my mother would have a very, very slim, you know.
Food budget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But somehow she could take $15 and make, I mean, 2 or 3 days worth of meals. I mean, she knew all of the prices of all the places. and where to get the best stuff. And because we were all sitting around this table, one family, somehow we made do.
I am saying this while I'm listening to that voice inside of you that's giving tribute to that mother of yours and your family. And here we are on Mother's Day weekend, which is appropriate. And so we're going to close the show today by saying Happy Mother's Day.
Yes, indeed.
To all of those who have devoted their lives, like Bill's mom, feeding us, caring for us. We're going to take one last opportunity, Bill, here. This is called Your Maytag Done Broke Down. And it is our pleasure to have you with us today, Bill. Thank you for being our guest.
Oh, thank you.
And I will say to our audience, we're going to close out the show on this wonderful song, and then looking forward to having you back with us next week. You know that we're the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Radio. Carl Cerny is our executive producer, and we are going to take some time now and enjoy this beautiful song, Your Maytag Done Broke Down. Sauce Boss Bill Warden.
Thank you.
You need some service, I mean right away. Call if you don't, child, them dirty clothes gonna stay that way, baby doll. Baby doll, your Maytag done broke down. Yes, it will. Yep. Time. Check this out. We'll be right back.
to check your motor, baby, and make sure your belt is tight. I'm going to grease a good child. I'm going to make that thing run just right, baby, die. Lord, your bitch head done broke down.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.